Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, today we start a new series entitled A Letter from Lockdown. We have so enjoyed preaching and encouraging you through lessons from lockdown. Now we go to a letter from lockdown. You may say, well, where does that come from? Well, there are four books that were written by the Apostle Paul during his imprisonment: Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and a personal letter to a man called Philemon. And we're going to dig and begin to look at this from the book of Philippians. It's not going to be a drill deep. We're just going to go into each of these chapters and pick out one or two verses which we think and believe are going to be a real encouragement to you. Through this, you're going to discover that Apostle Paul speaks a lot about joy and rejoice. In fact, he mentions these words 16 times. That helps you understand where we'll be going with this teaching. And I guess we could really narrow it down also, because the Apostle Paul, writing to this church, is basically saying to them, trust God, it's going to be okay. I may be in lockdown, you're concerned about me, but God's got this. And I believe that that is a word for us. Whatever you're going through, it's like Paul was saying to them, I'm going to be okay, you're going to be okay, and it's going to be okay. I want to read a few verses. It's actually from chapter 4, just to anchor this. It's Philippians 4, verses 10 to 13. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Let me give you some context to this book just before we jump into the content. Now, I am one of four children. My brother Philip and my sister Wendy, they're older than I am, and they would often say that I and Louise, but especially myself, they would consider us to be spoiled children. They say that we weren't disciplined as much as they were, that by the time we came along, that Dad had got softer. I had a great answer for them. It was very simple. A well-behaved child doesn't need to be disciplined harshly. And when you look at this book, we begin to discover that for the Apostle Paul, this book was unique in a number of ways, because he's like a father writing to his children. He's not dealing with the same problems that he had to deal with in Ephesus, Galatia, or even Corinth. They are not doctrinally confused. There are no major fires that Paul is having to put out. In fact, the church at Philippi, they loved Paul from the start. They supported him from the beginning. So Paul writes with this love to them. And if you want a bit of background, can I encourage you? Look at Acts chapter 16, because I will make some references to that as well. So Paul is writing to encourage the church there in their work, in their walk, in their worship and witness. He's saying, hey, keep on being faithful. I want to encourage you to hold on. Don't give up. What a word of encouragement. But he also writes to give them thanks because they had supported Paul from the very beginning through prayer. They had partnered with him. In fact, they even had sent Epaphroditus to see how Paul was doing. Such was their concern for Paul. So how is Paul dealing with this lockdown, this imprisonment that was enforced upon him? Well, he said these words that I read to you. I have learned that whatever the secret of being content in whatever and every situation, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to look at three key verses from chapter 1, which I think will help us understand where Paul was coming from when he wrote these words to this church. Number one, he said this. He says, I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul was confident in God. The church was unsure how Paul was doing. They were concerned about him, and Paul appreciated that and actually wrote that in this letter. But he wrote these encouraging words because Paul had an inner confidence that God was with him, but God was also still working through him and for the church there at Philippi, that God was going to complete that which he began. I wonder, perhaps Paul began to think back of that early church, how it started. You see, Paul and his companions, they desired to do a good work for God. They headed in a particular direction and God said no. They went another direction, God said no. And then Paul received what is known as the Macedonian call to come on over and help us. He saw a man from Macedonia. So Paul eventually and his companions arrive in Philippi, first church that was started there in Europe. And think of the characters from Acts 16 that we see in this story that make up this early church. For we're told that there was a woman called Lydia. She was a businesswoman. She was a seller of purple. Paul encountered her down by the riverside, and she had this incredible conversion. She was already seeking after God. And then she invited Paul back to her house. Her whole household received Jesus Christ or responded to the good news, a businesswoman. And then there at Philippi, there was a little slave girl. We don't know her name. We're just simply told that she had this spirit by which she could look into the future. And Paul realized that this was not good. And he cast this demon or the spirit of divination out of this young girl. And then if Paul, because of that, he ended up in prison because her masters suddenly realized that they could no longer make money from her. So Paul ends up in prison, and we know that story. At midnight, Paul and Silas are singing praises to God, and the chains fell off, the doors opened, and the prison guard was about to kill himself. And Paul says, "Don't do it, we are here." And he too was converted, and his household. It's so interesting that we see these three characters from different social backgrounds, but they make up this early church. And Paul, looking at them, thinks, I remember those days, and I'm confident that God that started that work 10 to 12 years ago is still doing a work in your life. I don't know about you, but I want to say amen to that. Paul was clear for that early church. It's not over yet. You see, they were concerned that it was over for Paul. Paul says, it's not over. It's not over. You see, have you discovered in life that often we want to put a full stop in where God has put a comma? Maybe during this period of lockdown, you're facing situations where you think it's over. You're maybe looking at your business and thinking, it's over. You may be looking at your work and your employment and thinking it's over, and looking at your life and thinking, what on earth are we going to do? Can I encourage you? Don't put a full stop where God has put a comma, because he may have you at pause right now. But here's the good news. He who began a good work in you, he's going to complete it. This is Pentecost Sunday, and I love that. You know, what God starts, he completes. I love when we look at the Gospels and we study the ministry of Christ. And the writer of the book of Luke, who was Luke, he also wrote the book of Acts. In fact, you could actually say that Acts is part two. We have the gospel of Christ, his work in Luke, and then we have the Acts of the church. It's almost like a follow-on book. It's there that we discover the early inception of the church, of how it came into being. Because often we think that when Christ died and he went into heaven, that was it all over. Friend, that wasn't it over. In fact, there was so much work still to be done by you and by me, who are the church of God. We think that, well, wait a minute, he ascended and that was the end of it. No, in Acts chapter 2, on that day of Pentecost that we're celebrating right now, it was a reminder that there was so much work still to be done. The mission of the church continues. Let's not put a comma where God has put a full stop, and let's not put a full stop where God has put a comma. You see, the early church discovered this. There was a continuity and a connectivity between the ministry of Christ and the mission of the church. It's not over for us as a local church. It's not over for the church of God. And can I say, it's not over for you. So Paul was confident. But not only was he confident, that we read that he says that he was convinced that he still had a part to play. Verse 25, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. They were concerned about his chains and his imprisonment. Paul had already wrote to them and he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What do you do with a man that has so much confidence and conviction that God is for him? He's basically saying this, that if I'm here on earth, then it's a great opportunity. There's a lot of work to be done. But if Christ calls me home, that to be with him is better. What a great attitude to have. Paul always wanted to go to Rome. It was his desire. He wanted to go there and preach the gospel. He didn't realize that his platform would literally be a prison. And here he is writing to the church, and he says that he has true confidence. And I'll tell you why he has this confidence in God that we read about, and he's convinced. I'll tell you why. Paul had been in prison before. I mentioned it to you in Acts chapter 16. And as he's penning this letter to the church at Philippi, I guess he would have remembered when he was in that prison cell. I mentioned it at the beginning, didn't I? And all of a sudden, as they're praising and worshiping God, the doors opened, the chains fell off, their feet were in stocks, they were released. The prison doors opened for all the other prisoners as well. So I guess Paul is now looking at the chains that held him in Rome, and he says, what is different to that prison I was in Philippi? If God could do it for me then, if God wants, he can do it for me right here. But he realized something. Because of his chains, because he would have been looked after and watched over by a Roman guard, and because of that, Paul says that the message of the gospel had spread right through the palace. In other words, Paul said, what an opportunity for the gospel. I didn't realize that this would be my platform, but look what lockdown has done. The message of the gospel has spread further than I ever thought. He's chained to different Roman guards, and I imagine that Paul would have used this as an opportunity to tell his testimony. Hey, I once thought I had it all together. I persecuted the church. I've done some pretty bad things in my life. But I encountered Christ on the Damascus Road, and I've never been the same again. I didn't realize that he could forgive me of the things that I've done. And as Paul began to testify to these Roman guards, I believe that their spirits would have been challenged and they would have shared with their friends, and it went further and further and further. What an opportunity. My friend, see this lockdown? This is opportunity. This is testimony time for every one of us. What a chance to let people know what God has done for us. Let's not speak negative. Let's not be our heads low. Let's remember what Paul says. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord. So he's praying and he's testifying. He's letting people know that God worked in him and can work in them as well. Christ changes life. I tell you, you should be saying amen right now. Come on, get that in the chat. That's a good point right there. My dear friend, Andrew Smith, he was preaching on this last week, and he read some stats, and I asked him to send them to me. Listen to this. Since lockdown, since things have been closed, pre-lockdown, 5 to 7% of our country would have attended church on a Sunday morning. Now it's estimated that almost 1 in 4 of the UK population have watched some type of online church service. Nikki Gumbo of Alpha Fame said these words, I've never known a time in my life where people are more open to God's word than now. The YouVersion Bible app states this, that through church online platform, listen to this, over 282,000 people worldwide have indicated that they have given their lives to Jesus during an online service during the lockdown. Folks, I don't know about you, but that is good news. That's why Paul could say, listen, what has happened to me has actually been a benefit because the gospel has spread. This lockdown, which many of us are saying, what on earth is going on? You know what? It has been used as a source of blessing, and more people are hearing the gospel than ever before. But not only did Paul say that he was confident, that he was convinced, but he says these words in verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens, listen, folks, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever challenges are in your world, let's make a decision right now. We are going to conduct ourselves as ambassadors of God. Paul says to that early church, he says, stand firm in one spirit. Strive together for the faith of the gospel. Don't fear opposition. Don't be fearful and afraid. And then through this book, continually he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. I read somewhere that this is known as the epistle of joy. You see, I'm not talking about happiness. Happiness is external. It's based on what happens around us. If the weather's good, then we're happy. If the weather's not so good, we're not so happy. I'm not talking about happiness, which is externally triggered. I'm talking about joy, which is cultivated internally. The Apostle Paul says, whatever's going on in your world, don't get caught up in happiness, but rejoice in the Lord. Come on, from deep within, he says, I've learned in whatever circumstance I found myself that I can be content. That doesn't come from external things. That comes from a peace in his heart. Rejoice in the Lord. And I want to encourage you, Christian, let's make sure that during this period, we conduct ourselves in a manner that is pleasing to Christ. And maybe you're here and you've come on to listen to this service today and you've never responded to Jesus. And you're saying, wait a minute, this is a letter that was written so many years ago, and here's a man that finds himself in chains, and yet he's able to be confident, he has a deep conviction, and he conducts himself in a manner that's pleasing to his Lord and Savior. How can that be? I'll tell you why. He had a relationship with Jesus. What about you? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? I'm not asking, do you attend church? I'm not even asking if you were brought up in a Christian home. I'm asking the question today, do you have a relationship with Jesus? You see, the Apostle Paul said he had learned the secret of contentment. That only comes through the filter of knowing that you're at peace with God, because when you're at peace with God, you can be at peace with others. I would love to pray with you. Nothing more wonderful than knowing that people are responding to the love of Jesus. You know what? It's just a prayer away for you. If you're listening to my voice and you're saying, Neil, I would love to have that relationship. I would love to be able to look at not only lockdown, but look at life with this attitude that Paul had. Well, you can when you make him your Lord and your Savior. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I want to know the peace of God. And I know that that peace of God can only happen when I'm at peace with God. So forgive me of my sin and help me to see my life turned around, because I'm making a decision to follow after you. In Jesus' name, amen.